Welcome to A Voice of a People with Linda Sims here on WWGH 107.1 FM radio, streaming live on the web, www.wwgh1071.com. You can download free app called TuneIn on any electronic device and search WWGH. Or you can call if you have any questions or comments, if you want to connect with myself or my guest today while we are on the air live. Please call 740-383-9944. Let me share with you those who faithfully support A Voice of a People, starting with Chappie's Hydraulic Hose Specialist, LLC, 1325 North Main Street, Marion, Ohio. Telephone number 740-382-8552. Logos Christian Ministries, Pastor Jackie Peterson, 582 Lee Street here in Marion, Ohio. Telephone number is 740-223-1515 or www.logoschristianministries.com. Also, Inspect Ohio LLC, your one-call home inspection company with 25 years of experience working for you. And they are out of LaRue, Ohio. Telephone number there is 740-262-0939. Going back to Logos Christian Ministries, they have an ongoing announcement starting with a free produce market every second Saturday of every month from 12 p.m. until 2 p.m. Address again is 582 Lee Street, Marion, Ohio. No appointment or pre-registration required. Simply show up, provide your name and number of people in your family. I have a thought for today. I read this last week and I'm going to read it again today. And the title is Creative People. Creative people are easily bored. Creative people, they are risk takers. Creative people color outside the lines. Creative people think with their heart. Creative people make lots of mistakes. Creative people hate the rules, believe it or not, huh? Creative people work independently. Creative people change their minds a lot. I know I do. I wonder, does that mean I'm creative?
Could be.
Creative people have a reputation and they are for being eccentric. Creative people dream big. And my guest today is Jeff Porter, author of Expressions of the Last Days. Are you a big dreamer, Jeff?
Yeah, sometimes. I don't like to dream too much because I want to stay in God's will. And when you start dreaming about something that He hasn't called you to, you get yourself in big trouble.
Oh, my.
You know.
Can you control your dreams, Jeff?
Daydreams.
Oh, those kind of dreams. Yeah, I guess. Yeah, we do get stuck sometimes, don't we?
But I've gotten carried away in my daydreams big time before, and the Lord's like, get back over here. What are you doing? You know, it's usually a big pride thing, you know.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
So you got to be careful about that. But let's, for instance, if you're called to be an aerospace engineer or something like that, and you start dreaming about having your own business where you build your own airplanes or something like that, that's a pretty cool dream.
Yeah, it is.
You know, something like that. Or start your own business or restaurant or some kind of big, you know, ministry where you're helping people learn how to read or something like that.
Right, right.
Those are good dreams.
I think even being author of a book, Expressions of the Last Days, I think that's a big dream. It's not easy to write.
No. I'll tell you one thing about writing. It's a solitary task.
Is it?
You're sitting there writing. You're by yourself, you know.
Okay.
And you have no idea how the outside world is going to react to it. Hopefully, they'll have some kind of reaction. But myself, I'm saying expressions of the last days because over the years God has shown me things that have to do with the last days, and it has greatly influenced my thinking.
Right, right.
You know, and so I've always had Bible prophecy on my mind for writing something, mm-hmm. writing a book about it.
Right.
Many, many times, I remember going clear back, I can remember in my childhood, God showing me stuff about, you know, that there is coming a world dictator, stuff like that. I knew it. And I knew the book of Revelation back then.
Mm-hmm.
I knew, and I would mention the Antichrist to people, and they go, "What's that? What do you mean?"
Right.
And I go, "How could you not know who the Antichrist is?" You know, because it was so prevalent in my heart. So that's a long story, but it was like God was doing a prophecy whisperer or something.
Mm-hmm.
Every now and then, I'd like go to a garage sale or something like that, or a yard sale, and somebody'd hand me a track that had to do with the 666.
So,
you know.
Prophecy, do you think that's a dream? Is that a reality? Is that a fact or something that's going to happen? Because you hear people saying, what is prophecy and how does it really affect us as people?
Well, these days,
as Christians.
These days you better be aware
or
of it.
Or non-Christians.
Yes,
yeah.
Because Bible prophecy is a good way to persuade somebody to get saved, yes.
Mm-hmm.
Because it not only, it encompasses a lot.
Mm-hmm.
It's not just about, you know, the judgment, wrath and judgment of God on the world. It also has to do with all the prophecies of the Old Testament leading up to the appearance of Christ in the world, when he did. And the Old Testament tells us when he was coming and why.
Mm-hmm.
To save the world from its sins. And if you believe what it said, and if you look through there and you really study, like, for instance, the prophecies of Daniel,
mm-hmm.
as we think the three wise men did, it tells you when Christ is coming.
Yeah, but Daniel dreamed, didn't he? He had a dream.
And I saw in the night visions.
Yeah, okay.
Okay. But Daniel also made all kinds of other predictions to the king of Babylon, which came true, such as the Great Famine and so on. So they called Daniel in. He was always their last resort,
mm-hmm.
you know, and say, Daniel, what is, like, when the first king was Nebuchadnezzar and then Belshazzar was laying there drinking himself into a stupor. And he was laying amongst all the golden cups and tremendous, what would you call it, all kinds of gold statues or whatever that they had stolen from.
All the loot.
Israel, yeah.
They had all the loot.
Yeah. And all of a sudden there's this handwriting on the wall. And they know if they call Daniel, he's going to tell them the truth. He's not going to tell them what they want to hear.
Mm-hmm.
And so there's, how would you feel if you're laying there, you're a pagan, you're half drunk?
I mean, oh my gosh, could you imagine seeing a hand?
A hand writing something on the wall,
yeah.
Just a hand. You know, and it says.
I think that would startle anybody.
That would terrify me. I'd be out of that room. But
right.
They said, go get Daniel. He always can interpret this stuff because they couldn't understand the language. And Daniel said, it says, mine, tekel, upharzen, your kingdom has been weighed in the balance and found wanting. In other words, it's falling short.
Right.
It will be conquered, therefore, and handed over to the Medes and the Persians. And do you know it happened exactly like that? Babylon was attacked, and the Medes and the Persians, it was split into two empires, the Medes and the Persians.
Right.
Later on, it was conquered. Hard to believe anybody could conquer Babylon, as powerful as it was, but it was conquered.
Yeah.
And so.
Well, it's because, you know, people with power, they get all carried away and they think that they they are the ones who acquired this power. It's by the might of my hand. You know, men always want yes. the credit for their good fortune.
Absolute power corrupts might. Absolutely.
Yes, it does. Yes, it you know. Does.
And so.
And they want all the glory to themselves.
Yeah. And that's what happened with Nebuchadnezzar. And God struck him down, made him go outside and eat straw like a cow mm-hmm. for quite a long time. So
7 years, wasn't it?
Yeah. It's funny, that was yeah. 7 years.
So, we opened up talking about dreaming big, didn't we?
Well, sometimes, you know, what I'm saying is yeah. sometimes mankind's dreams get to be a little bit too big for his britches, mm-hmm. you know.
Right.
Big head, oh, big yeah. britches.
Once they become reality, like I said, then they want to take all the glory for it, you know. But, you know, when your mind is busy and you're trying to sleep, I know I have. Sometimes my mind is going 25 miles an hour and I'm trying to sleep. And every time I get quiet, then something else pops up in yeah. my mind, you know.
It's like you try to solve all your problems in one night.
Right, and you can't. Not even one can I get
solved. No.
The first problem I'm trying to solve is going to sleep.
Yeah.
But everything else.
So try to get yeah. your head to shut up.
But everything else keeps popping up.
I understand.
So we're talking about envy today. Jeff opened up when he walked through the door, talking about people and their tempers.
Yeah.
And the hate in the world, and that also goes along with envy. And yours was about video games, the violent ones, right? Or
I wonder, and I wish some people would call in and give their opinion about this.
And that number is 740-383-9944 here at WWGH 107.1 FM radio.
Yes. Do you really think that these violent video games and violent television have iPads, what other tons of electronics is out there, mm-hmm. even cell phones? Are these violent games and violent movies having an effect on the youth of today or everybody? Yeah. You know. Now, I've noticed lately, and maybe I should keep my mouth shut. Probably should. But we haven't had any public shootings for a while. Ooh. That's a really good thing.
Yeah.
But do you think that maybe the violent movies and violent video games might have had an effect, might have started some of this?
I think you're welcome to call in anytime. You may want to weigh in on this, some of you who are listening. And again, that telephone number is 740-383-9944. And Jeff is asking your opinion.
I don't really have the big answer to this.
Right.
You know.
Violent games on video, do they alter our thinking, our character, our emotions? I'm sure it does have an effect on you, especially if you consistently, I put it like this, consistently be a gamer. It could, because there's a lot of violence on those, you know.
Yeah.
But some people nowadays, which is, I think, something new, where you can call up somebody else with that same game and you can play that game and you're not even in the same house, but you're on the same
yeah.
game. Yeah. Yeah, playing that. So
they play each other
yeah, and I think
on the internet and stuff. Yeah, yeah.
I think that has made a big difference.
Now, you know, some of them are okay, like.
Caller, you're on the air?
Yeah, this is Chuck. I appreciate your show. Can you hear me?
Hi,
yes,
Chuck.
I can, and thank you, Chuck.
Yep, we can hear you. Gotcha. Yeah. Gotcha.
I thought I'd give my opinion about what you're talking about.
Okay.
Go ahead.
Well, you know, Satan is the father of lies.
Yes.
And he is the one that started everything from the beginning, and he's been around so long that he knows how to work these last days into mm-hmm. a frenzy, if you will,
mm-hmm.
with the computer and the video games and all that stuff. And Satan is the author of all this stuff. And if you just hang in there another few decades, he's going to really do some serious stuff in the next few years.
Wow.
Do you think that these violent video games, that they make people crave violence, maybe?
Well, you know, as the pastor said, that if they see things at least, a dozen times, it gets ingrained in their mind, and if they get it another dozen times after they had it that long, it becomes a habit. And after it becomes a habit, it becomes part of your character. And sure, it affects all our young kids.
Do you think it may have something to do with these public shootings?
The public shootings, again, that's by the hand of Satan. Warping the minds of our young people. And again, you know, with all these shootings that's going on, I can't imagine what's going to be happening in the next generation, because the younger people have no respect for life anymore.
Doesn't seem like it, does it? It doesn't seem like it. No.
No fear.
I won't say that all of them are like that.
No, not all of them, but I'm talking about enough people that it becomes newsworthy, enough crazies out there that they get all the attention. And that's a lot of reason why a lot of them do it, so to get attention, because they aren't getting the attention from their parents anymore.
That's true. Mm. That's true.
Well, that's my two bits. I'm at work, so I got to go back in and do another run. So
thank
you guys carry on the good work, okay?
All right, and thank you.
Thank you for your opinion. Bye. Appreciate it. He brings up some interesting stuff. It's like the inside of us is like a chalkboard or a marker board or something, and it's blank. And then here comes all this input to write stuff on that chalkboard or on that marker board, you know, board.
Right.
And it's stuck there. Now, I don't think that is the final solution or the final answer to that problem with violence in America or anywhere else for that matter. We've seen that other countries have problems with public shooters and with cults and all kinds of crazy, you know, criminal stuff.
Yeah, because when you were talking, I said, well, you know what, we're going to talk about envy today. You know, we have done about, this will be our third lesson or airing.
I think envy would fit into a different category, though.
But maybe, but it's still it can still lead to violence.
Oh yeah, definitely.
You know, and that's what we're talking about. Really, is violence and what leads people to do these mass shootings, or it can be a number of things. And envy could be one. You know, it could be because of the games. It could be because they want more power, or it could be because you stepped on my grass.
Yeah,
you know?
Or they suffer from low self-esteem.
Yeah, or you know, you're telling me on my car, you know, they're already inflamed. You know, people are just, they don't have the temperament to.
No.
They don't have the temperament to.
No patience.
Sustain some things in life that you would think, okay, well, why am I going to be cussing and beeping on my horn and slamming my feet on my brakes, you know, and I'm just enraged.
I had a relative that was like that, don't touch my grass.
See?
You know, a little girl, 10 years old, walks through his yard, walks through your yard, and I'm saying, hi, honey, how you doing? And my relative's going, get off of my lawn! I said, how do you expect these young people to act decently when you're acting like a hyena and you're an older person? You should be showing them how to act.
That's true. And when I pull up the envy, it starts like this. The thief of joy.
Yes.
So if you don't have any joy, you're already angry. You're already upset. You get up in the morning upset.
Yeah.
You go through your day. You'll find anything to get upset about.
Don't sign up to be a manager or a boss. That's a good way of losing your joy.
That's true. And this, envy is the desire of what somebody else has. And we talked about coveting.
Mm-hmm.
Coveting what other people may have. It could be a country.
Yeah.
What about the Holy of Holies where the tabernacle stands in Jerusalem? They will scrabble even over that piece of land and whose it is, and you can't worship here. And, you know, you have three sect of people who worship in this building, right? You got the Christians, you got the Palestinians, and you also have
the Muslims.
Oh, the Muslims. Okay, that's Palestinians, right? And Christians. We're all sharing this spot, but it is a sore spot for all of us.
Muhammad wrote the Quran. Mm-hmm. And he was obviously being guided by the hand of Satan.
Right.
Because I don't believe, why would God create a race of people and then create another race of people to hate them? You know? So he has taught the Muslim people to hate the Jews through the Quran. Mm-hmm. And if you wonder why the Muslims hate the Jews so much, go get yourself a copy of the Quran and just pick it up occasionally and read from anywhere. And it's based on hate. It's based on go kill the Jews, destroy them, take over their land. And, you know, if it wasn't for the Quran, I don't think we'd have any problem at all with the Muslims. Well, but they read it and believe it.
That's true.
And so there we have war and hate and unrest in our world because of...
And envy.
And envy. Because of our religious differences.
Yeah, I mean, there's all kind of differences, though. Religious differences, yes. And that is so vast anymore.
Yeah.
Because almost every time you turn around, there's a new religion.
Yeah.
Out, you know.
Oh, yeah.
A new sect over here, a new sect over there. And they're all, everyone's different. They got a different belief. You know, they create their own gods. They got this show on now called American Gods. Hmm. I haven't looked at it yet, but I'll tell you what it when I do. I'm
what what's that one with Morgan Freeman in search of God or something?
Uh-huh. Then you know they were just running that.
Very interesting.
It is very interesting because he went to different sects of people, different countries, and he talked to them and they told him about what they believed, how they believed, you know, and it was reality to them. So when people start up these religions and sects, it's a reality to them. Just like it's a reality to us about Jesus Christ being our Lord and Savior from sin. So, why? And people say, well, why does, you know, a lot of people hate the Christians? So, is that envious of the Christians or what is it that?
Well, you know, we claim John 14:6, where Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes unto the Father but by me. They get very, very upset about that particular scripture because it sounds narrow-minded. It sounds arrogant. It sounds like we've got the religion and you don't.
Right, right.
You know, and that is not at all what we're trying to project to people.
Right.
Okay, so I remember, I very few Christians give a real answer to that question. Why is Jesus the only way? And I finally heard Charles Stanley one day give the real answer to that, and that is because he said, if you believe in other religions and other cultures and belief systems, what you going to do with the sin?
Well, you know, people don't think they have sin. They don't think they've done anything wrong.
All right, let's take a look at Romans 3:23, where it says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And when they say, well, I've had people say that to me. Yeah. I've never sinned. Have you had people say that to you?
Yes, because they believe they haven't.
Yeah, they believe they're perfect. And you say to them, have you ever taken anything that doesn't belong to you?
Right.
And they go, well, I guess I have. Okay, then you're a thief.
What does that make you? Right. What does that make you?
Have you ever told a little white lie? Margaret just called on the phone. She wants to talk to you about that balloon party you're supposed to go to tonight. Well, tell her I got cholera, you know.
A little white lie, right?
A little white lie, but it's still a lie.
Right, right.
So We have all sinned and come short of the glory of God. So we go to Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord. Here's another thing. When we say, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, let's turn around and take a look at the world out there. Crime, violence, domestic crime, indomestic crime, whatever you want to call it, bank robberies, murders. What do you get? If sin is not the cause of that problem out there, what is? You know, you're still, what are you going to do with the sin? So Jesus took care of that problem. When he died on the cross, he took all of the sins of all of the world through all of the ages, took them all upon himself, and had them crucified on the cross with him. All you have to do as an individual is accept his forgiveness through that cross.
Okay, that's true. Now, let me throw this at you. You catch it?
I got it.
Do not envy a man of violence, and do not choose any of his ways, for mm-hmm. the devious are an abomination to the Lord, but he is intimate with the upright. The Lord is intimate with the upright. That's Proverbs 3:31-32. And the reason why I'm bringing up some of these proverbs, because it's wisdom and it's knowledge. And a lot of these things lead to sin.
Yes.
Being envious, wanting to steal, wanting to kill.
It plants a seed. Yes. It plants a seed.
Right, it does. It plants a seed. You know, and it says that it is a desire for what somebody else has. It not only means you wish you had something that somebody else has, but it goes one step further. It means you wish the other person did not have that thing. But what got me is this. You, when you're looking at different religions and sects, okay, well, that's envious of other religions. But we're going to come up with our own religion.
Yeah.
Because they got their religion. They think they have more people following them. Because like you said, you have to receive the truth. If you don't receive the truth, or think that everything that you hear is fake news, you got to be, there has to be some truth.
There's got to be some truth around here somewhere.
Yeah, somewhere. There has to be some truth. So, and I think it makes it easier for people to say, well, I can't believe, you know, the Christians and what they're doing and how they're doing it and what they're standing for and things like that, right? And you feel like, okay, well, if they can do that, then we can do this over here.
Yeah.
You know, and we'll do better
making
than
them. Making comparisons.
We'll get bigger. Yeah, we'll get bigger than them.
The envy thing always makes comparisons.
Yes, it does. That's what people do all the time.
It's hard not to.
Right.
You know, you sit there and you go, well, I'm not really doing enough for the Lord. Or my calling hasn't kicked in yet, and I'm sitting here watching everybody else doing their thing.
Right, and I'm doing nothing.
Yeah.
Why don't I get up and do something, you know?
You people wait till I get up there. and all of that stuff. But God, you know, one of the things that does give me peace if I remind myself that I am not that person over there. I am me.
True.
And I am called to what God has called me to.
Right.
I'm sure of what God has called me to.
Right.
So I don't have to worry about what they're doing. But it does get to me sometimes.
And, you know, I think all of us will say, well, wow, I can sing a little bit. Why am I not up there singing? You know,
Well,
I'm not in a play and I don't have a part. You know, I can act. I think I can act, you know. And a lot of that. And then the thing about that is you have to be careful because you don't want that to grow into jealousy.
Yeah.
Because jealousy enrages a man, and he will not spare in a day of vengeance. Now, there's also another verse that says that jealousy is as cruel as the grave. Now, that's another one.
Whoa.
Now, that's another. Jealousy is another culprit of violence. Right?
I was in a Christian group a while back. Maybe a couple years ago, and I mentioned this radio program. I was on this radio program once in a while because of the book I had written.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, you know, I was just talking about it offhand. I wasn't really trying to show off or anything. I was just talking about it. And this guy over here in this group, he says, well, I used to have my own radio program. And people would call in, and we had a big old thing going with that. You know, it was a big ministry, really. And he just went on and on trying to prove to me that, hey, I'm as good as you, or I'm better than you.
Right, right, right.
With this thing going on. I said, what exactly is your point, man? I mean, you know, I was talking about promoting my book, but not only that, but just being on the radio is something that I believe God has called me to.
Mm-hmm.
It's not a big thing. You know, God says not to despise small beginnings. But I had problems with that group from then on.
Wow. Were they envious of you?
Yeah.
See?
I think they were. And I couldn't get them off of it. Stop it with
that.
You
want to ride that horse all the time, right?
Yeah. I said, aren't you awful tired of beating on this dead horse because I ain't paying no attention to you?
Right, right.
You know. Right. But I did eventually give that group up because they just kept going on and on and on with that.
Right, right. Wow. Do not let your heart envy sinners, but live in the fear of the Lord always, Proverbs 23:17. Do not be envious of evil men, nor desire to be with them.
No.
Proverbs 24.
How about when you're in high school?
I was going to say that. There goes our young people. Oh, you know, it seemed like the bat
cheerleaders,
always draw them, you know.
The cheerleaders over there and the football players over there. You know, you got the people in the uppity-uppity group. Did you ever envy them?
In a way.
Yeah, I did too, a little bit.
Yeah.
Other times I was glad I didn't have nothing to do with them so I could just relax, you know?
Or just sit in your corner and hate them.
Yeah.
Did you feel better doing that?
Well, you know, the uppity-uppity group, a lot of times they base their membership on looks. If you're good-looking, hey, come on in.
Not only that, I mean, they have popularity, you know.
And, yeah.
You know, like famous, you know, throughout all the school, the teachers and all that. You, Jeff, I saw that eye move roll, you know. But, you know, some people, you know, and you talk about being people that bully other people. That's another form of
bullies.
Envy. Yeah, bullies. That's another form of
now, why do bullies bully people?
Envious and jealousy.
You think so?
I believe.
You really think so?
Yes, I do.
Or are they just preying on the weak?
That too.
I remember there's this guy, his name was Keith, and I was usually a victim of bullying. I didn't bully anybody, but I'd be walking home and Keith would jump out of a car or something and come over. I don't remember him actually hitting me. He just, get up in my face and stuff and act real tough and everything, you know. And one time when I was walking home, I had a friend, Gary, and he had really awful temper.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody messed with him. You just don't mess with Gary. Man, if he blows up, he's like a boiler maker or something, you know. But Keith was not that bright, I guess. And he came over and he was trying to push me around and stuff, and Gary just went off on him. Chased him down the street, took his hat, and beat him up, and took his hat and smeared it in the mud puddle, and Keith came back and said, can I have my hat back?
Oh, wow.
And he never bothered me again.
Wow.
After that.
Really?
I was very grateful to Gary for that because
he finally got the bully
off of me.
Wow. You know? Listen to this. Wrath is fierce and anger is a flood. But who can stand before jealousy? That is Proverbs 27:4. So, jealousy.
Oh, murders.
Oh, yeah. Jealousy is as cruel as the grave.
Yeah, you walk in on your lover.
No mercy.
Having a relationship with somebody else, you walk in on them. Ooh, I mean, the emotions are going to go through you.
No mercy, no joy, no peace, no love in the grave.
No.
That's how detrimental jealousy can be.
Yeah.
It's not put in the right temperament or done away with, you know, or just accepting people for who they are.
Documentaries where people will, they don't kill their lover, their immediate lover that they're involved with, but they kill the other guy that's messing with their lover, hopefully solving that problem.
Well, one thing, they will stop. They're gone, right?
Yeah, well,
anymore.
That person's dead, and then the police caught up with the person that shot him. So, the best thing to do is just say, well, I lost this battle. I'll win a different one later. You know, it's not worth it to go to prison or go to the electric chair because of the flash emotions that you feel at that moment, you know.
Right, right. And again, the thief of joy is envy.
Yes.
It says there are different ways we can observe this infection of the heart. Now, that's a drastic way to put it.
Yes.
Infection of the heart. I wish I drove a new car, a newer car. I wish I lived in a larger house. I wish I had a better job. I wish I had a different mate, more different, better, larger. These are all symptoms of the disease that keeps us from enjoying the present.
That's really because we're not seeking the Lord the way we should.
We're seeking things.
Things. And that's why the prosperity movement came along. It's because Christians began to seek after what's on the Lord's table, mm-hmm, rather than the Lord himself.
Sometimes dissatisfaction can be a good thing. For example, it was Wilbur and Orville Wright's dissatisfaction with travel by land and sea that motivated them to develop the airplane. It was Thomas Edison's dissatisfaction with having to read by candlelight that encouraged him to invent the electric light. Now, some things are good.
Yep, that's right.
They're good.
We need to build a bridge across here. I'm tired of going all the way around.
Finally, they did that right out there.
Yeah.
From Harding right to the college. Yeah. We're always thinking, why do we have to drive all the way around to get straight across?
It sure took a lot of years.
Didn't it? And finally, they did that.
Yes.
Now, how often do you travel that
Pretty road? Amazing, isn't it?
Yes, it is. Yes, it is. But the desire for more or better or larger is harmful only when it keeps us from enjoying what God has already provided us and provokes us to worry about the future. God wants us to experience satisfaction with what he has provided for us right now. How do we do that? By realizing the opposite of more is not less. The opposite of more is contentment.
Oh, okay.
Being content with such things as we have. And we're not.
I don't really feel the need to seek after money.
But do we have enough?
I have enough. Not always, but most of the time.
More food? What about your refrigerator? Is it packed, crammed, your cabinets?
It's going to be tonight. Because I'm tired of running to the store for every little thing. I got to clean up the refrigerator first.
Once that's all
get all
clean,
that junk out of there, then I'll put all good stuff in there.
Right, right.
But we should just think for a minute. I said to a guy when I was in the hospital, I turned around to this guy and we were watching this documentary on TV about some super poverty something or other in some country. And I said, I'm awfully glad I live in America. And he just went, kind of stuck his nose in the air. And I thought, I was going to say, what country would you rather live in?
A lot of people think I'd rather live overseas or on an island.
Be more romantic.
Yeah, or, you know, it's just being away from here because, like you said,
too familiar with
my belated husband used to say, there's no other place I'd rather live in the world than America, United States. And that's when President Clinton was president. People say, oh, no, you know, America's this and America's that. You know, they're just not good. They don't like us. And they're always rubbing noses with the communists. And, you know, it's been the same drill for years. I mean, there's nothing new about that, Jeff.
No, there isn't.
Nothing
new. But what I'm saying is, you see some of these pictures of people in some of these third world countries, And they go out and they're panning. They're holding up a pan and they're hoping they'll find some clean water. You know, and they die from all kinds of horrible diseases and things, bad things that live in that water.
Right, right.
That's what true. Do they have to do all day but try to survive? That's all they do.
Yes.
And look at us. We get in our nice car and brrr, go to work, and we complain about everything, though.
And I ran across this quote this morning. Everyone is fighting their own war.
Yeah.
We have individual wars. And there is a scripture that says, work out your own salvation with fear
and trembling.
So that's fighting our own war. And if we could just focus on our war sometimes.
Get ourselves straightened out.
Know, and trying to get through that.
Yeah.
You know, instead of our eyes are always on other people, where we become envious and we become jealousy. You know, we become discontent with what we have. You know, we would be happier, I do believe. As a people, even as a country, you know, the rich, there's 1% rich. Billionaires in our country, you know,
and they commit suicide.
Right, and they commit suicide, and they have all this money. They have no need of nothing.
Yeah,
but we can be poor and have need of nothing.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah,
I'm poor.
It depends on where your focus is.
There you go. There you go.
Jesus was born into poverty and died in poverty.
Yes,
you know, but probably Judas helped that along.
Probably so. But, you know, would you look at Christ? I mean, he had everything. He had the whole world. It was all his. I mean, he created everything that was to be created, even though he came here as a man and fresh on the scene like a baby, like the rest of us have to come this way. He came that way.
Yeah.
You know, and people said, well, he was poor, but I don't see him as poor. I see him as rich. You know, because
he was.
Everything was at his hands. He could have anything he wanted. But all he wanted was to save us from our sins. You know,
he wanted us to have an eternal perspective rather than an earthly perspective.
Yes.
That's what he just kept on talking about.
That's true.
Is focus on the heavenly things.
Right.
Focus on your reward being in heaven.
Right.
Don't focus on this earth. It's only temporary.
Right.
You know, but when we're here, it just seems to press in on us, you know.
It does, because there's so much around us.
Yes.
Like you're saying, the video games, you know, how do they alter our minds, our young people's minds, and even young adults' minds, you know, especially when they're so engrossed in it, you know, and that's all they do. You know, some people can't work. They can't even have a relationship without the game system.
Well, I heard a social worker talking on the radio a while back, and she said, this electronic invasion in our lives here in America has caused more havoc than any drug or alcohol because people have stopped talking to each other.
Well, it becomes a drug itself.
Yes.
It's something you can't do with. It's habitual. It's a habit.
I know people don't communicate with me a lot because I don't like Facebook and all that and Twitter and all that. I don't really mess around on it very much at all. And I wonder sometimes if the reason why they kind of are distant to me is because of that.
It could be.
I don't know.
It could be.
Either that or I'm just a, you know, obnoxious.
We don't want to think that. We're not going to say that anyway, Jeff. But believe it or not, we are out of time. Time really goes by fast when you're having fun. Thank you for listening.
WWGH Radio 107.1 FM LP Marion, Ohio, the place for guests like Dean of the White House Press Corps, Helen Thomas.
Helen, how do you deal with criticism? Because certainly 10 presidents, you've had your share of criticism. How do you deal with that?
Well, in the first place, you look at it and you see whether it's valid or not. And then you consider the source.
And then just
I just made up that answer.
Then onward and upward.
You're always a little bit miffed, of course, because everyone doesn't love you. But at the same time, you have to look at yourself and see whether they're right or not.
Do you go home at night, Helen, and think, my goodness, this person said that, this person said that? Does it keep you up at nights?
Well, I don't say it keeps me up at night. I have to think that Nobody likes criticism, but sometimes it's very legitimate.
Final question I have for you, Helen, is probably